bet the board.
What do you mean you don't bet?
I mean, I don't bet. You know, I don't
wizard,
care. I don't.
Wizard.
I never have, and I never will.
Yeah, right.
I'll bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
You owe me $15,000, pal.
Pay him. Pay that man his money.
It's the Bet the Board podcast.
God likes me. He really, really likes me.
In the end, I wound up right back where I started. I could still pick winners, and I could still make money for all kinds of people back home. And why mess up a good thing?
Here's Payne Insider and Todd Furman.
Welcome into the Super Bowl edition of the Bet the Board podcast. And man, is it bittersweet when we bid a fond farewell to football season and focus on the doldrums that are college basketball, the NBA, and every other sport with a wagering line. I'm your host, Todd Furman. You can follow me on Twitter at Todd Furman. Of course, my esteemed colleague and co-host all season long, the one, the only Payne Insider. You can follow him on Twitter at Payne Insider. Payne, bittersweet for us, my friend.
Absolutely, and what a nice guy I am to do this on National Recruiting Day.
Oh, here we go.
Big recruiting class from my Seminoles. I can't quite hear you. There's something going on in the background. It's the number one recruiting class right now in the nation.
Well, you know what? I'd ask you to set an over-under on what that recruiting class cost to bring to Tallahassee, but I'm not sure you want to throw any of your friends and colleagues closer to the Seminole program under the bus. Especially, you know, my buddy Bud Elliott at the same time.
It's a touch cheaper than what it costs in Tuscaloosa.
Did you bring the band on site? I can hear him loud and clear.
I'm not sure we end up with the number one recruiting class, but I think it'll be a top three effort. Jimbo Fisher closed strong again.
I will say, it's definitely one of those things, for as much as I love the college game, National Signing Day, not exactly near and dear to me, the whole concept about turning 17-year-olds that haven't accomplished anything on the athletic stage aside from high school football into celebrities, and then grown men tweeting at these college players, something fundamentally wrong about that, but I completely digress from the task at hand, Payne. And of course, we're here to discuss the Super Bowl, and Super Bowl 50 it is between Carolina and Denver. Carolina, we'll call a consensus 5.5-point favorite, total of 44.5. And before we get to Dave Mason, who I know has a lot of great information both on the game, the total, and the prop bets being offered at Bet Online, are you at all surprised at how we've gotten here, where we are, whether it's the line or the two teams involved?
I'm not really shocked at the line at this point. I think it came a little quicker getting out to 6, and then, again, a little quicker seeing that resistance. So, in terms of a line perspective, not shocked at all. We will dive deep into this game and let folks know why it got there and what the true intent of the position is here. The two teams here, Carolina, I'm not completely shocked they're here. I think that's more foregone. When you look at Denver, potentially them showing up here, kind of getting by teams that were a little banged up, not at 100%, probably the more shocking of the two teams in Super Bowl 50.
And it's hard to argue with Carolina. Kind of caught everybody by surprise, including the odds makers as well. 13-5 against the spread, not exactly a team that a lot of us thought could live up to the expectations. We always thought the other shoe was going to drop, and we'll see how things go on Super Bowl Sunday. As you mentioned, we'll do a deep dive on this game props as well. And, of course, we do have a very special guest to help provide us with his breakdown that we'll introduce in a little bit. But before we get there, let's welcome in Dave Mason. He's been with us each and every Thursday throughout this season. And, Dave, before we even focus on Super Bowl 50, can you give us a quick recap of championship weekend and the importance of that Denver cover? We know when we last talked to you, you said that it was make or break for the health of the book for the entire season, that New England couldn't go out there and cover as three-point favorites.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't go that far, but it was a big one. It ended up being the biggest decision, not only this season, but the history of the company. So, yeah, we really needed the Broncos because everybody was on the Patriots, and the action was so great, too. There was so much volume that we're huge Broncos fans, and that they took care of business. We did lose some of the money back in the late game as the Panthers were the popular play. But the conference championships were good for the house. We needed that after the divisional round with those teasers the week before, which we spoke at length about.
And you talk about volume. How does volume look early on for the Super Bowl? We know typically books say they get, you know, upwards of 80% of the action coming in the 72 hours before the game goes. But where do we stand at Bet Online now as we get closer and closer to the big game on Sunday?
Well, if that's true, if we still have 80% plus the action to come in, I mean, where this is going to be just bigger than expected. It's already massive. If the game were tonight, if we didn't take another bet and the game was tonight, it would be the biggest decision. It would blow away the game from 2 weeks ago or a week and a half ago. It would be the biggest decision in the history of the company as we need the Broncos yet again. So, wow, if 80% of the action is still yet to come in, I mean, it is going to be just massive because the action is great. We're real pleased with where we're at. I'd like to do more Broncos betters, but...
Mason, let's transition pretty quickly here. We'll talk props. Everyone loves to talk about them. What's kind of the thought process going in terms of making a prop bet and then, you know, efficiently marketing them to the masses?
Right. Well, you know, it's a Super Bowl, so you're throwing up as much as possible. I mean, you're throwing up backup running backs and everything. You, whatever you think's going to get to take a bet, you throw it up there, you know. You know, but they're also, you know, there's the props that, you know, are going to get a lot of action, the ones that are easier, the over-under passing yards on Cam Newton. And then, of course, it is the Super Bowl, and the Super Bowl is all about novelty props and getting marketing and PR. So, you know, that's a whole different animal. That's, you know, you're watching videos of so-and-so singing national anthems and trying to come up with a number or whatever, you know. So that's a whole different animal. The Cam Newton passing yards, that's kind of easy. You know, that's been there all year. The guys know what they're doing with their numbers and everything. But then when you get to the more unique stuff, it's a little more throw a dart at the board. You know, you caught myself the other day just trying to figure out, I forget what prop it was. And, you know, I know it was. We're putting up a prop again on Beyonce for the halftime show, whether or not she'll have cleavage. You know, we did that last year with Katy Perry, and it was such a huge success. We're doing again this year. And, you know, I'm sitting there watching videos and seeing what the likelihood of it she'll have cleavage or not. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's just like, what the heck am I doing? Throw a number up there and let's see what the bettors bet. And they're betting on cleavage because we're up to minus 400. I think it opened at 300.
That's a tough pick there, Mason.
Yeah, I mean, Dave, I know you're a big fan of Coldplay. I figured you'd offer a prop on, will Coldplay show cleavage as well?
Yeah, well, you know, when they announced it a couple months ago that Coldplay is playing, I was kind of disappointed. And then and they announced that Beyonce would be joining them, and I immediately sent an email to the props guys letting them know that cleavage was coming again. So
now, just real quick, for a lot of our listeners, they don't know what goes on back when it comes to developing some of these novelty props. And to be honest, you know, we never had that luxury working behind the counter out here in Vegas. Are there props that you guys come up with and you decide, hey, we just don't even want to put these up, despite the fact you only offer much lower limits compared to the player specific stuff?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's not like we haven't even really discussed it this year. I mean, we really didn't shoot any down because, you know, we kind of know what we're doing by now. It's what's going to work and what doesn't. But, you know, a lot of those props where you're making the better think too much, where they have to go compare weather to projected weather to a quarterback's, you know, passing yards and divide it by this. And those just don't work. They kind of sound fun on the get-go, but I mean, they put a lot of work to come up with a number, and then at the end of the day, they don't get a lot of action either, because the bettor doesn't want to. They read it, and it's like, what the hell is this? You know, what the hell is the pressure, or the air pressure versus Cam Newton's passing yards versus, you know what I mean? So that kind of stuff we learned a while ago that just doesn't work. You know, it sounds kind of neat, but it's kind of a waste of time.
And when we talk about sharp prop bets, we know you guys get hit with those a little bit. Have you seen any sharp action on prop bets? Has maybe a prop bet been forced to come off the board? It's taken so much action.
No, nothing's been forced to come off the board. You know, just keep moving the damn number. But a couple things, a few off the top of my head. Under on Peyton Manning TD passes, 1.5. Mike Tolbert over 7.5 receiving yards. Under 12.5 penalties. Those are a couple that we saw a little bit earlier today. But just keep moving the number. And we have that thing, that rebet functionality too, which our guys really got to stay on their toes, you know, where the sharp can keep hitting it every 61 seconds or an odds move. So, you know, we open ourselves up a little bit more to those sharps as well, even on the prop. So, you know, they can keep hitting it for a nickel or whatever the limits are on that prop.
Starting to see any liabilities really get cranked up on these props. Dave, I know traditionally out here it's the yes-no on overtime safety, and of course this year a prop that's grown in popularity, the yes-no on a missed extra point. Are you guys starting to see that type of money come in as well?
No, absolutely. I mean, that safety is always a big one. And a couple years ago when that safety was the first score of the game, that was like a double kick in the groin because everybody always bets, you know, that's always like 40-1 or 50-1 or something. So when that hit, it was like two huge liabilities hitting right in a row. But, yeah, it's no different. 90% of the will there be a safety action is on the yes at, I believe we're at plus 800. So everybody likes those big payouts. Same with overtime. I think 89% of the bets are on the game going to overtime. We had some huge liabilities on most receiving yards. Again, all long shots. Ed Dixon at 50-1. The liability's huge. Andre Caldwell, 50-1. Autry, 12-1. Those are all really big liabilities. So if any of those guys lead the game in receiving yards, we're going to get hammered on that prop.
Dave, let's get into the meat of Super Bowl 50. Let's talk about the side in total. How's the full game action looking?
Well, like I said earlier, the action's great. We'd love some more Broncos action, of course, but 81% of the money is currently on the Panthers, and that spread is right now is minus 5.5. 73% is on the over. We're at 44 right now. We did take some sharp action on minus 45.5 earlier. Money line, the Broncos is the public play, but you know, it's nothing compared to the spread. So the Broncos won outright. We'd lose on the money line, but we wouldn't care at all because that means we'd win the spread, which is a lot more important on this particular game so far.
And, Dave, you mentioned the spread right now. We've seen it kind of ping-pong all over the place. We know some recreational books here in town. They're sitting at 6-45. They know the type of bettors they're going to get. You mentioned taking some sharp action under. You guys are one of the lowest on the board as far as the total, sitting at 44, 5.5 right now on the side. Any idea where you think you guys may end up? You think 5.5 is where it sits, or do we see 6, maybe even, dare I say, 6.5 or no, because there's fear of sharp money coming in there?
Yeah, I can't see 6.5. I mean, anything's possible. I've been wrong before, and I talked at length with our head odds guy this morning about it, and he doubts it, but you know, anything's possible. When Sunday rolls around and, you know, if it's still 81% of the money's on the Panthers and 80% more of the money's coming in the next 72 hours, then you might be like, all right, don't matter. Come on, Sharps, let's get some of your money. But I can't see 6.5. Now,
you guys have never even gone to 6, have you?
No, we haven't gone to 6 yet. Not at all. Yeah. We've stayed at 5.5 as high as we've gone. 5.5, a little bit extra juice on the Panthers. But no, we haven't gone to 6 yet. We know there's been some sharp money bet at 6 elsewhere. So, you know, got to use that intel that you're getting from other books as well. And you got to use it to your advantage. You're not going to be egotistical and say only our action matters. You're going to look what else is going on out there in the industry. So yeah, I mean, I'd say just the way this action coming in on the Panthers, I'm going to say 6, but I can't see 6.5.
Now, Dave, I don't know why people wouldn't already be up and running with you guys at Bet Online, but just in case folks are listening to Bet the Board podcast for the first time all season, trying to get their edge, and they want to have another out for the big game, what type of promotions can our listeners expect this weekend at Bet Online?
All right, well, we still have that bonus available for the last time. It expires Sunday. So if you don't have a Bet Online account, use promo code BTB50 for a 50% welcome bonus. That's up to $1,000 worth of free plays. If you already have a BetOnline account, you can use BTB30 for a one-time 30% reload bonus. All the terms and conditions can be found at www.betonline.ag/bettheboard. And, of course, our basketball product is great. We have the earliest open lines in the industry. We have the most live betting. So just because the Super Bowl's on Sunday doesn't mean it's, you know, we're not going to take any more bets. We're looking forward to March Madness and the NBA playoffs and all that good stuff.
Dave, it's been a real pleasure having you on each and every week. I know Payne and I appreciate the industry insight, you being open and honest about exactly what BetOnline's needs are. each and every weekend throughout the NFL season, and want to thank you for everything you brought to the podcast, providing a different element that Payne and I didn't quite have in our inaugural season. So thank you very much from us. And for folks that aren't following you on Twitter, I encourage you to do so. At Dave Mason, BOL, some of the best industry analysis in the business at all times.
Thanks, guys. A lot of fun, and see you next year, I guess.
Appreciate it, buddy.
Go Broncos.
Dave Mason from Bet Online, and you know, it's been one hell of a ride all season long. Let's hope that the house ends up on the right side of the ledger, but of course we'll get there in due time with our full breakdown of the Broncos and Panthers game this weekend.
There's no doubt about that. I think for us, and I hate to even say this, for me personally, in terms of handicapping a side in this game, it's been probably the least amount of work I've ever had to do on a Super Bowl.
Wait, Payne, did I hear you correctly? You said this was the least amount of work you've ever put in for a game, talking about this Denver-Carolina matchup?
This is the least amount of work I've ever had to put in on a Super Bowl in terms of a side perspective. Still a lot of work with the props, a lot of work with the total, but as a side in general, least amount of work we've ever had to do.
Well, I think a lot of listeners are going to be fascinated by that comment. Can you kind of expand a little bit and share, you know, some of the thought process behind that? Because I don't want them to take that as, hey, we're just mailing it in. We're not trying to dig and uncover an angle. You know, I understand why you're saying that, but I don't know if a lot of the listeners will quite be on the same page.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the look-ahead line of 3, when you look at some of your power numbers, mine dictates Carolina being 2.5 minus 20. When you talk to some of the sharpest guys in the world saying, I made this game Carolina minus 1, at this point for us, I mean, it's one way or the other. We're either going to be on Denver at a price or we're going to be off the side in general.
And you know what? When you talk about not putting work into a game, I feel like that's the perfect segue for our special guest that we're about to bring into the fold. Arguably the worst-kept secret that we've had all season long. A man who probably needs no introduction. You can follow him on Twitter, at Barstool Big Cat. He handicaps and bets sports in a methodology uniquely his own. Want to welcome in none other than the Big Cat. Big Cat, are you enjoying the atmosphere in San Francisco despite having a boss that may be a bit despondent after the Patriots' performance in the AFC Championship?
We are. We're out here grinding credential lists. We have a bus that's illegally parked, and we're trying to get as many people into it. Let me just go, though, off what Payne just said. It is the least amount of work I've ever done on a game because I have two eyeballs and a brain in my head, and it's the Panthers, Panthers, Panthers. This is going to be like 2013 all over again. I don't know about you guys, but I bet the Broncos in that game, and it was the worst Super Bowl of my life. Because I hosted a Super Bowl party, Peyton Manning had a safety, the Broncos, you know, pissed down their leg, and everyone left in the third quarter because I had lost all my money. Never again. The Panthers are going to work the Broncos. I don't care what your numbers say. That's the bet. This is, and we talk about this all the time, Todd, where the value is, and obviously the line, the look-ahead line. I'm just going off of what these two teams show me on the field, and the Panthers are a better team.
Jesus, Big Cat, I wanted to tease your pick on the game, but if you're just going to throw it all out there right off the top.
That got me fired up.
I'm glad to bring this energy that you're stepping it up. I mean, it is your debut on the Bet the Board podcast, so we do things a little bit differently around here. But you mentioned your two eyeballs. I want you to walk us through your process when it comes to handicapping the Super Bowl, not only for the game, but some props. I'm also a little bit disappointed that you said that game was over. Don't lie to us. We know that you've live bet these Super Bowls 15 or 20 times, even if your initial side is down 40 points at the half.
Yeah, well, I do the really bad live bet thing where I just end up getting myself into a bigger hole, and then by the end of the game I have, you know, my initial side 10 different ways, and they all end up losing. So the live bet, I actually need my bookie to turn my live betting off because it's nothing but harm to my welfare. In terms of the game, though, I don't think the Broncos are that good. I obviously, you know, we saw what they did in the AFC Championship game, but the Patriots had offensive linemen that weren't even playing, like they weren't even out there. And everything broke right for them. If the Broncos don't score that first touchdown and get to play the entire game on their terms, where basically the Patriots are trying to catch up and the Broncos don't have to – Peyton Manning never had to make a high-pressure throw in that entire game. Are you going to tell me that he doesn't have to make a high-pressure throw in this Super Bowl? I mean, if he has to make a big first-down throw at some point, I love the Panthers. And I think the Panthers are probably the most disrespected 17-win team in NFL history. I mean, you guys obviously know the lines. They were a 2.5-point favorite against the Seahawks. They were a 4 or 3-point favorite against the Cardinals. The fact that this line opened at 3.5, the Panthers are legit. I am someone speaking from a situation where I didn't buy them for as long as possible. I bet the Cowboys so much money on the Cowboys on Thanksgiving, and that was the moment when I said, no more. This Panthers team is legit. And, tell me that Denver's defense is great. Tell me they're going to get a pass rush. Cam Newton's not Tom Brady. Cam Newton can move around the pocket. Cam Newton's not going to get sacked if his offensive line fails. So I love the Panthers.
Now, Payne, you heard Big Cat talk about the disrespect card for the Panthers. The opening line, 3, 3.5, got as high as 6 at some offshore shops. 5.5 is probably the peak of where it's been at BetOnline. Can you offer some thoughts on why you see this number taking off as quickly as it has, in your opinion?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, it's an anticipation of where this line needs to be on game day. But there has been some sharp money on Carolina. And for us, it's all about the intent. And it's a word that I use often. And the intent on this game was some guys got out, laid 3 on Carolina, knowing where the market would go. More so, money line action. A lot of these groups came out, laid -170 through 190 on the money line, basically creating this middle opportunity to at some point come back with their real position on Denver, +6 or better. So when you talk about this game now with a total of 44, having a nice 6-point middle in it is an opportunity that a lot of these sharp bettors just could not pass up.
Well, you talk about the total being a little bit low, and Big Cat, I don't know if everyone is familiar with your mantra that you guys adopt at Barstool. I believe it's something like, life is too short to bet unders, if memory serves me correct.
Except for Christmas Day, when the NBA games are going on. That's when I bet all the unders that day. And it actually, that's probably my most profitable day every single year. Went 5-0 this year. But yeah, this is where we're going to obviously be different here, with you two guys, you know, crunching the numbers and being responsible. I'm just talking from a regular perspective here. I can't sit on the couch on Super Bowl Sunday and root for no one to score. I'd rather go to a movie. I don't want to watch the Super Bowl and root for, you know, punts. So obviously we disagree here, and you guys will end up probably making more money, but I'm going to have a lot more fun.
Well, I mean, but there's a couple different ways to look at it. First off, you're in San Francisco, so you could go to Napa instead of going to a movie if you choose to spend Super Bowl Sunday doing that. But the nice part is you can bet over punts if you want, have an over bet, and still have the full game under and try and cash both of them.
I do like actually taking the over punts bet, but this is like we've talked about before. I end up screwing myself because I'll bet like over punts and over the game, and then I can't, you know, win both, and then whatever. We go down a bad path.
All right, well, Dave Mason gave us some novelty props, and, you know, a lot of people are going to think, oh, you gave Big Cat this list ahead of time. He's had a chance to properly handicap. But this is true, straight from the hip. I want you to just shoot it like the real man as we go through a lot of these things, because let's be honest here, there's no effective way to handicap, despite Dave going in through about an 8-minute tirade about how much Beyonce footage he had to watch to properly determine the cleavage line. So we may as well start right there. Yes, no prop, Beyonce cleavage. Yes, -$4, no, +275.
No, I'm taking no. What does even cleavage mean?
I mean, it's kind of a gray area when we're talking about offshore books,
right?
Loosely interpreted.
I'm going to say no just because she's a mother now and they've been a little bit more sensitive about that stuff. So I'm going to say no.
Very interesting perspective. Cam's first dab will come in the first quarter, even money. Second quarter pays you back 3-2. Third quarter, 6.5-1. And if you think it's going to happen in the fourth quarter, 9-1. I have a feeling I know where you're going with this, since you think that the Panthers win this game 900-0.
Yeah, I think it's going to be first quarter, and it doesn't even have to be a touchdown. If you get the big first down, he'll dab.
Nevada,
right? He'll get a big first down, and he'll throw the dab right away.
All right, we'll have to take a look for it. I actually agree with you there on the first quarter. I think even money makes a lot of sense. Payne, do you have any strong sentiments on this prop?
None.
All right, we'll take that. We'll take that as a no. We'll take that as a no. Over under total dollars bet in the state of Nevada legally, $118 million.
Ooh. I'm going to take the under. I don't think there's as much buzz for this game as there has been in the past.
You're down there on the ground floor. What's the difference in atmosphere this year being in San Francisco compared to your time in Scottsdale last year for the game?
Well, San Francisco's just not, like, it's not really set up for a Super Bowl, and it's not really a sports town. I know there'll probably be some San Francisco schoolies that will get mad at me for saying that, but it's the truth. It doesn't feel like a football town. So, and I know Phoenix has just got, Phoenix probably holds a million conventions and all kinds of, you know, stuff like that all year. So they felt more set up. It obviously it's only Wednesday, so we'll probably grow a little bit more, but it definitely doesn't feel like the buzz is the same as last year.
I think it's probably similar to what it was like in New York. Sometimes you get in these big cities for the games, and the immensity of the game doesn't really take over the city because there's so much other crap going on.
Right. If you walk away from the Super Bowl city or the Radio Row, people are just living their regular life. It's not taking over the city like last year in Phoenix kind of did.
I'm a little bit disappointed in that Barstool hasn't had a bigger impact to take over the entire town, but, you know, of course, I digress. Panther, Oh, you like the over one? Oh, Payne, you decided you wanted to weigh in on one of these props. Nice of you to join the program.
I like the over there. I really do. I 2 years ago, we set the record, right? $119 million last year, came back a little bit to $115 million. But I think when you talk about Cam Newton and how polarizing he is, Peyton Manning potentially last game ever, and this is kind of the one that's going to cement his legacy. And then obviously just having the information that we talk to sports books, and virtually every single one of them says we're on pace to have our biggest betting handle ever. So with that, I think I'd have to go over $118 million if I did actually decide to place a bet on this.
You cheated on that one, though, because you actually told people who know the answer.
Well, I mean, Big Cat, I guess
it's
this is
called information, Big Cat. It's not called cheating.
I mean, this is a bigger question that I have, and you know the pulse of the nation probably much better than Payne and I. And we talk about the growth in sports betting. The American Gaming Association said that $4.1 billion is going to change hands on just this game alone. Do you feel that sports betting is becoming much more mainstream and more people are getting involved, not even for just a Super Bowl, but, you know, a casual Monday night when people want to bet, you know, I would say Sun Belt basketball, but I know they don't play in that. So we'll go Big Sun, and you name the smaller conference that takes place.
Absolutely. I mean, basically what Barstool does and what we come after is the regular guys who are just like us. And I would say, you know, the majority of my friends, they bet on games throughout the year. They're not all maybe betting every single game every night, but they're always trying to look to get some action, especially on college football Saturday or NFL Sundays, and then March Madness time. And I don't understand why gambling isn't legal. It makes no sense to me. I don't understand why they wouldn't, we wouldn't just tax it and make billions of dollars off everyone betting, because everyone does bet, and it's actually safer. Because if you know, like a guy like me who has a few different bookies, I'm betting money that I probably don't have sometimes. Whereas if you go to Las Vegas, you got to put the money down before you make the bet. So I think it would be a safer and a better way to go about the whole thing.
I'm not going to disagree with you. I'm pretty strong as far as legalization. I know Payne has similar sentiments as well about what kind of value it would add for me. Fully nationally legalized, regulated, and creating the transparency that's out there. Of course, we have to get back to the task at hand, though. More prop bets for you, Big Cat. Panther fan to get the first touchdown ball. Boy minus 170, girl plus 140.
Ooh, that's a good one. If they really wanted to do it, I would love if there was an age prop, too. I don't know how you would then, like, score it if you could find the kid after and get their age, because I would love to take, like, under 7 years old. I'm going to take a boy.
Payne, boy or girl here for you?
I got nothing there. Gonna pass on that one.
Yeah, what are your numbers saying now?
What do you think about my over under 7 years old line?
Oh, man, that's tough. I'd say under.
Okay, yeah. I think so, too. I really do.
I actually, you know what's funny? We talked about this prop on one of the radio shows I did earlier this week. People came after me and called me a sexist because I said I thought the Super Bowl was a much more conducive event for fathers and sons. So I thought that's why sons should be a favorite. And I actually believe $1.70 feels a little bit cheap unless Cam goes to try and seek out a daughter. We'll have to look at the seating arrangement, you know, the 15 minutes leading up to the game to try and get late action here.
That's going to be key. Yep.
I mean, you have to know who's in both end zones. You have to know how the coin toss is going to go and everything else. Now, of course, Gatorade color, orange plus 125, clear plus 350, blue
plus 350, yellow 9-2, red plus 550, purple 10-1, and the field at plus 750. Big Cat, which way are we going here?
Give me that blue line. What was that? Plus 350?
Yep, plus 350. Like, or for that, those folks listening across the pond, 7-2 action.
Yeah, that's some good value. I like the blue.
All right, and last but not least, the time of the Gatorade shower actually occurring, over under 8 seconds remaining on the clock.
I'm taking over because I think the Panthers are going to win by a few touchdowns.
So you think this could happen with like 8 minutes to go, knowing about the Panthers' premature levels of celebration?
Yeah, they're going
to
get like, the pictures going. They're going to get the dab going. This is happening right around the two-minute warning.
Two-minute warning. That's bold, and may have to see some sharp money coming in and starting to move this number at Bet Online. Payne, any final thoughts on the novelty props in terms of your overall opinion on these in general?
I just have a question, and it's a super big question here, Big Cat. What are you doing with the coin toss?
Tails never fails. That was a stupid question. No offense.
No. This is a positive thing here because it's going to be long-winded, but I'm going to give you a compliment. Just a few weeks ago, I shot Todd an email, and I'm pretty cryptic, and I said, have you heard anything on the coin toss for the Bama game? And Todd's response basically was like, what the heck are you talking about? And I replied back to him. I said, have you seen anything come in on the coin toss? He says no. And I'm looking at a wave of sharp money in some of these accounts hitting tails on the national championship game. And Todd's like, get the hell out of here. So I kind of reach out to a few more people, and they're like, this is either some kind of sick joke or this coin is weighted. And all of a sudden, we see the coin they're using for this kickoff, and there's just nothing on one side of it. And the other side's all these, like, raised engravings. And there's no way that this coin wasn't lopsided. So they flip it up. It goes to tails. I saw on Twitter, you bet tails there. So for the first time in your life, it's possible that you were on the sharp side of a game. It was the national championship, and it was actually the coin toss.
That's incredible, because I don't know if you saw, I wrote the blog about the whole tennis betting scandal and how there have been, people have been taking money and throwing games. And my whole take on it was, I just want to have one time get someone say to me, hey, look, this guy's going to throw it, put all your money on it. It sounds like I did somehow. Like, I actually had that happen without my knowledge. I was on the side where it was, I was basically cheating, and that one was, the tails was never, ever going to lose. So that makes my day.
Well, I'm going to go one step further, guys. Honestly, I spoke to William Hill. They said they have lopsided action again this year on tails. And whether it's because the axiom tails never fails that seems to predominate out there, or for some other reason, they are actually having liability going to what in theory should be a 50-50 proposition.
I love it. Tails never fails. Never, ever, ever done me wrong.
All right, so there we go. We got some of the novelty props out of the way. We know that's the way a lot of our listeners like to have a little bit of fun, put a few bucks into action. Obviously, don't encourage them to dump their 401k into any of these things. But individual player props, we'll go a little bit deeper there. Payne, can let you lead off here. Are there certain things you and some of the guys that you work with are trying to identify, whether it's passing yards, whether it's rushing yards for certain players? You know, we know as we sit here on Wednesday that a lot of information will continue to trickle in, but where's your thought process right now on some of these?
I guess in general, we're going to use this. It's over early, under late, and in general, when we talk about props, we're going to stay away from a lot of the index props. So those are your player to score first TD props, where that theoretical hold is just astronomical. You've been on the other side of the counter, 40% sometimes. So we're looking for player props, yes-no props, head-to-head props to fill out our portfolio. And again, the key there, over early, under late, and just one example, and while a couple guys did go over Cam Newton rushing, and that is going to be a liability from the public. These guys went over 36.5. You're now seeing that out to as high as 42.5 some places. So it's if you're going over on these props, you're going to want to go early, and then most of the professionals go game day, and they're going to be coming in under on about 85 to 90% of their props.
Before Big Cat, we let you weigh in. You talk about high theoretical hold, and I'll echo that same sentiment completely. When it comes to MVP, which is now available on the betting boards here in the state of Nevada, of course, it's been a staple offshore for a while. I know Bet Online says they get quite a bit of action there. First player to score a touchdown, last player to score a touchdown. Make sure you're doing your due diligence. There's never a worse feeling than betting into a market where you know bookmakers are taking 60, maybe even as high as 70 cents on the dollar A full disclosure, when we were at Caesars, we were under an edict not to really raise anybody, because the thought was if people are coming in to bet this prop on Sunday, they're not price sensitive. By the time kickoff rolled around, and this is going to be terrible to say, we were as high as 78-80% on some of these props. So betting into those type of markets, yeah, if you want to plunk down $5, it's one thing. But Big Cat, I have to imagine years ago when the Bears were in the Super Bowl, you were part of that craze that got down early on Devin Hester to score the first touchdown.
Yep, that was the only highlight of the whole game. That was probably the best moment, in Bears history in the last decade. This speaks well to my favorite prop, and I've been betting it a lot on the Panthers this year. I don't know what the number is, but longest touchdown of the game. I think the Panthers, they always have that ability, especially Ted Ginn, and they can do it even with Jonathan Stewart, to have that big, 45, 50-yard touchdown. So I don't know where it's at. It was at 48.5, the NFC Championship game, and I know I hit that. So if you get a run back, you get it as well.
And we talk about those. Any particular player props? Big Cat, we know you're bullish on the Panthers in this game that you're looking at for Carolina with either Cam Newton, Ted Ginn, any of the other key contributors, either offensively or defensively?
Yeah, I probably will take what's the sack line at? 4.5, 5?
For two teams combined sacks, 4.5. You do have over-under sacks, 2.5. You have to lay juice if you go under for sacks of Cam Newton. It's about it's flat right now from what I'm seeing on Peyton Manning getting sacked.
So I like the over 4.5 sacks combined. I think, obviously, I said that Cam gets out of plays. He's not going to be like Tom Brady. But he also will keep plays alive that might get him sacked where he could have thrown the ball away. So, and I do think Peyton Manning will probably take at least 3 sacks in the game. So I like that over.
Well, Peyton, one thing, and I wanted to get your take on it. Oftentimes, people fail to realize that a lot of the props will go over for the team that's trailing. And I know it sounds counterintuitive, but when you look at a game like this, I don't think any of us really see it getting that lopsided. Maybe Big Cat believes Carolina wins 52-0. But going back to the previous Super Bowl Denver was in, a lot of the Bronco players still went over their numbers because they were in catch-up mode, and the Seahawks players on offense didn't quite have those gaudy numbers that you'd expect despite winning the game by north of 30 points.
Yeah, I mean, I think you nailed it right there. And if you do expect a blowout, it means the other team has to open the game up, come from behind, basically chuck on every single down. So that tends to happen. But from everything that I am hearing in this game and just what you're seeing with the spread, the total, under is going to be pretty prevalent on game day in terms of props. It's going to be a lot of Carolina under props from what I'm hearing. So that's what, basically, when we're looking at these props, it's going to be a ton of unders. It's going to be game day unders. When we talk about wild card weekend, the divisional round, conference championship weekend, and I'm looking at what we're doing. Our portfolio of props is literally 85 to 90% under on the players.
Big Cat, before we let you go, I want to thank you for all your time. I know how busy it is out there in San Francisco and the responsibilities you have. I encourage folks to check out BarstoolSports.com if you haven't. Plenty of great Super Bowl coverage. We know Big Cat, Prez, and the other cast of talented individuals there will have great rundowns and ways to keep you entertained throughout. Need a score prediction, need your best prop bet, and we want to know where you're going to be watching the game come Sunday.
Score prediction, I'm taking the Panthers 31. I'll take the Broncos. I'm going to give them 13 points. 31-13. So actually, that's the under, which I basically went against myself.
This is the problem.
Do you want to revise your prediction? You can go 31-15 if you want, so it still goes over.
I'll go. You know what? I'm going to do a Chris Berman score. I'm going to go Panthers 32. Broncos 19. You know how Chris Berman always throws out those scores that make no sense and you have no idea how to get there. But that's really, you just proved that if you get me talking long enough, I'll just basically bet against myself a million times over. I like that over 4.5 sacks prop that we just talked about. I like tails. I like that blue bit Gatorade. And I'm also going to bet my boy G-Reg, Greg Olsen, to win the MVP. I don't know what his lines are right now, but I'm sure he has a lot of – he'd have a pretty juicy line to win that. I know, obviously, if Cam Newton throws in touchdowns, Cam Newton will probably win it. But I think Cam might throw a pick, and Greg might have all the touchdowns. And I'll be watching on my couch. It's the best couch day of the year. I'll probably have some, college basketball lose money on in the morning and then go right into the Super Bowl in the afternoon.
All right, well, we wish you an enjoyable Super Week. We're a little disappointed that you're uncredentialed media for this event. I would have loved to hear some of your questions that came up, but encourage folks to follow you on Twitter, at Barstool Big Cat. He'll have some of the best commentary on game day, and you'll be nothing but entertained. So thanks for taking time out of your busy day. I know you guys have a lot on your plate the rest of the week, Payne, and I really appreciate bringing you on today.
Absolutely. Thank you, boys, and best of luck.
Appreciate it, man.
Barstool Big Cat, a breed unto himself, Payne, when it comes to analyzing football games, especially ones of this magnitude for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that was awesome. Could barely contain my laughter. I think that might set us up for next year. We might really have to consider having a guest picker on each and every week.
I think it's something that's definitely been thrown about as we try and take Bet the Board to the latest and greatest iterations and take it to higher levels. But we heard Big Cat's thought on a lot of the props. I know you shared some of your philosophies. Wanted to get your take on a lot of things that go on. We heard Mason talk about yes, no's, and some of the high juice. Can you kind of explain how professionals approach the prop market a little bit different than the casual bettor?
Yeah, I mean, I think your casual bettor, just like they do, whether it comes to prized fights, they're looking to bet a little to win a lot. And sometimes that just gives sharp bettors really, really great prices, even if they are laying juice. And we're going to be willing to lay juice in a lot of situations. And I can tell you right now, not to just let the cat out of the bag and give out a free pick right away, but one that I've already bet, and this is the first year this prop is being offered, and quite frankly, it's a horrible number. It's no extra points missed, and it's minus 360. So you got to bet, you know, $3.60 to return a dollar. But at minus 360, your break-even point's about 78%, and you need to win this bet 79% of the time to earn. And I get it. They've moved the extra point back this year. It's resulted in some drama. There could be some Super Bowl jitters, but you're right around 94% on extra points made this season. The two kickers in this Super Bowl, they're over 96% this season, 102 for 106 combined. So when you look at a prop like this, we absolutely laid it already. When you're talking 96.2%, you're at about a minus 2,500 line, not minus 360. And if you're really a savage out there, there's some places that don't have as bad of a number. And you can go in there, walk in there right now, bet plus 425, 440, and you're talking about, you know, a scalp of 65 cents or more. So those are the kind of things we're looking to do with these props.
I think it's an interesting philosophy because, as you mentioned, not only does a casual bettor typically like to risk a little to win a lot, they look for things to happen. But the reality of these games, if you can bet against things happening, more often than not, you're going to put yourself in pretty good standing. And especially for a game with a total that's sitting right now at 44
right.
at Bet Online. It doesn't imply you're going to have a ton of yards, a lot of big plays, a lot of big scores. Of course, some of those props are going to cash, but at the same time, you're looking for things not to happen and to underwhelm as far as overall entertainment value.
And that was one of, you know, the things, the elements that was included in this prop bet for us that I didn't mention. When you're looking at a total of 44, 45, you're looking at the potential of only four or five extra points even being attempted. You know, you're talking, you know, four or five touchdowns, two or three field goals. So the opportunity there, again, we know we've moved it back, but four or five extra points in a game like this, the number is way off. It's the first year they've done it. I'm sure they'll get better and at this number as they move forward. But again, you know, the public perception is, my God, we've changed the rules here. We've moved this extra point back this year. There's been this craze of, oh, we've missed all these extra points this year. We've missed more than usual, yes. We've missed more than we have in a long time, but it's not anything remotely close to the price being offered here.
Are there any players on either side, no matter what position, that you guys have identified as potential opportunities to look at?
I think when we talk about the side that a lot of professional bettors will like is the Denver Broncos, and we talk about a position that a lot of sports bettors, professional bettors have taken with that is we don't know if Peyton Manning is going to be doing all the lifting. So I've seen a ton of pro money looking to back Brandon McManus. And Brandon McManus plus 1 point versus Graham Gano. This opened about minus 115, minus 120 some places. We're out as high as now minus 140, 150, and 160 a lot of places. So they're taking Brandon McManus. They think, you know, he's going to hit a couple field goals this game. So they've taken him plus 1 versus Graham Gano.
And I'm going to go one step further on the Brandon McManus. I've spoken to a couple of professional bettors out here, and while we talk about MVP typically being a sucker's market, they've taken shots at McManus at prices of 150 or better. They said they would still be willing to invest at 100-1 that he could somehow be MVP if this game were to fall, you know, let's call it 19-16, somewhere along those lines, and he hits a 40-yarder to win the game as time expires or something along those lines.
Yeah, that's interesting. And again, I've tailed this prop plus one, but I think the interesting factor here for McManus will be this is a guy that we're accustomed to seeing kicking in altitude. He can attempt that 50, 60-yarder. It'll be interesting to see, get him out of the elements a little bit. For the, you know, the kicker position, we know the field's a little bit choppy there. So it's very interesting to see potentially what they have uncovered here with Brandon McManus. But plus one versus Graham Gano was a very, very sharp bet. I know we talk about being, you know, willing to lay juice on a lot of these props, but I can tell you one prop where a lot of sharp bettors did grab the plus money. That was with Ted Ginn Jr. Ted Ginn Jr. getting a rushing attempt that opened plus 280. We're now down to about plus $1.90, plus $2 on that prop. He's been implemented as a runner the last few weeks when things get tough. We know with 2 weeks to prepare, there's that potential for a couple, you know, high-octane plays, a couple trick plays, and Ted Ginn Jr. is usually that guy. I prefer the attempt as opposed to the rushing yard prop because essentially, you know, we just need the attempt. He can get caught in the backfield for a four-yard loss, and that attempt prop cashes. So we have seen sharp money come in. That's one of the few plus money props a lot of sharps were running to obtain.
And you mentioned that he had one rushing attempt in both playoff games, including that electrifying 22-yard touchdown run en route to their win over Arizona. Speaking about Ted Ginn, I have actually written a piece, and I'm pretty, you know, strong on the fact that Ted Ginn won't get into the end zone. And you talk about laying a price at minus $1.80 implies that he gets into the end zone about 35% of the time. 11 touchdowns this year, but 10 of which receiving-wise, 8 of them came in 4 games. Just don't see him being a feature player aside from a deep threat here or there. I think you saying that he gets a rushing attempt makes a lot more sense. When you look at his over-under receptions at 3.5, you have to lay a price to go under. And total receiving yards, 49.5. He truly becomes the forgotten option in the passing game for the Carolina Panthers.
Absolutely. And again, with this game kind of coming downwards a little bit to 44, you're thinking offense may be at a premium here. Maybe we have to implement something, try something to get the offense going a little bit. And that would come of the way of Ted Ginn potentially in the rushing situation. Now, the one thing that would scare me just a touch, and when you look at this game, I think the game plan has to be going one-on-one with cornerbacks and wide receivers and putting that extra man in the box in the way of TJ Ward, you know, making sure Cam isn't doing too much with his feet, making sure there's help on Greg Olsen. And I think that's the key there is being, you know, Harrison Tlaib being able to play one-on-one. And Ted Ginn Jr., not the best of receivers, but he's one of the fastest guys in the world. So that scares me a little bit. There could be a potential where he does just have one catch and it happens to be one for a touchdown. So that scares me a little bit more than, you know, what I'm doing here with the attempt rushing prop.
Now, when we look at the Denver Broncos, we know that you know, is getting to be the side that gets attention from the professionals. Are there certain players on the offensive or defensive side that you've identified as potentially key cogs or players that you really don't think will factor into the game plan at all?
I don't want to, you know, because I've listened to some stuff out there. I know some guys have given out some stuff. It's moved a ton at this point. You know, C.J. Anderson's kind of a guy that everybody's keying on, whether it comes in receptions or yards. When you look at Hillman, you know, not all the way upstairs. That elevator just doesn't go very far. And when you look at the fumble that kind of was created by him not being cognizant of the situation, that's not someone you're going to really rely and trust on in a Super Bowl spot like this. So I think we do see a little bit more C.J. Anderson than we do Hillman. A lot of stuff has come in on under Hillman props, total carries. A lot of stuff has come in over on C.J. Anderson receptions, yards, things of that nature when it comes to the Denver Broncos.
One player I want to ask you about in particular, he's kind of been the forgotten man in the Denver passing game, Demaryius Thomas. I've been a lot of talk that Peyton Manning may try and get him involved in the offense early with a bubble screen, help get his confidence up, but we've seen him kind of underwhelm at the receiving position over the last handful of games. Do we think suddenly he becomes a key contributor for this Broncos offense, or is it really feast or famine with the Mercurial wideout?
Yeah, he's been very bad. Let's just put that as it is. A lot of drops this year, and the guy's a leaking faucet. And so it'll be interesting to see what Carolina employs defensively. And if I'm Carolina, I'm probably putting Cortland Finnegan, who's, you know, older, but he's a physical guy, on Demaryius, and I'm letting Norman operate on Emmanuel Sanders, because I just think Sanders is better at this point. So I think you probably put Norman on Sanders, and that could create some opportunity there for Demaryius. At this stage in your career, you just got a huge contract. You're in your prime. If you can't beat Cortland Finnegan one-on-one in the Super Bowl, a guy that, you know, was on the street a month ago, that's an issue. And Denver is going to need that matchup to be key. They're going to need Demaryius Thomas to win that one-on-one battle. I know the market's gotten extremely low. It continues to get lower and lower on Demaryius Thomas. We're now at, what, 5.5 receptions? When the playoffs started, we were looking at 6.5, 6 last week. And one thing when we talk about this Carolina secondary, as great as Norman is, the rest of it is not very good, and there's opportunities there.
They'll have to see if Peyton Manning elects to take a few deep threats to try and keep that defense honest. Showcase his arm strength that should be a little bit better after an extra week of rest. Now, props play a big role depending on which books you ask. 50% of betting handle, some offshore state as low as 20%. Payne, we're here to break down the game. Side and total, current numbers at Bet Online, 5.5 and 44. Total at 44, obviously not going to make a case to go under there knowing that there are 45s out there. But when you break down this handicap, you mentioned it being one of the easiest Super Bowls in recent memory for you to try and dissect. Wanted to give you a chance to kind of expand on that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I think when it comes to the total, there was some sharp money on the first half under 23. It's something that's become this a beloved tradition of the podcast, and I think the number was a little out of whack when we talk about full game totals usually being a little more than the first half total. This Carolina, what they do in the first half has kind of really set this market. And there's some value, I think, going under in the first half if you can still get a 23, and professional bettors saw that the same. So when it comes to the side, or when it comes to the total, that's the way I would look. I don't really want anything full game. I don't want to, let's just say, Denver has to play catch up. I don't really want to play an under with Peyton Manning playing catch up, whether he's scoring points for his team or the other. That's a scary proposition for me. So I think there's some value there on the first half under because of what Carolina's done, in the first halves of these games all season. When it comes to the side, you know, we've talked about this. Professionals were looking to lay minus 170 on the Carolina money line. They laid through minus 190. And the goal is to come back on Denver plus the 6. Some of them already done it. They thought that was going to be the peak. Some of them think there's still some room to maneuver here. And I think more so, in your neck of the woods, where I think 6s are going to stay there for most of the time. And there's the potential for a 6.5 where you could buy to 7 for 20 cents. And I think when we're not talking about the on-the-screen market.
Wait, people are going to jump down our throats. You can't buy points in the NFL. It's a long-term losing proposition.
Yeah. When you talk about not the market that's on the screen, but your local shops, I think you're definitely going to have an opportunity to get a 7 at a very affordable price. I've seen through some locals even plus 7.5, minus 20 at this point. So I think you're going to get a better number with your locals, and then obviously out in Vegas, and you will offshore.
And you mentioned the first half total, 23 being a key number that we talk about. Very few out there now, a lot of books 22.5, and we're starting to see some juice come in under the 22.5. Encourage people to wait it out. No difference if the number goes to 21.5, but the opportunity to take 23 much more advantageous. First half side, we see some threes out there, I should say 3.5. Can we make the case that Denver is as attractive plus 3.5 in the first half as they are for the full game, working under the mindset that if Denver's behind, they're going to have a lot more difficulty playing catch-up than the Carolina Panthers might?
Feels a little easy, right? I can get 3 plus $1.10 first half, or I can get 5.5, a dead number for the full game. I'm not doing anything with the side in the first half, strictly total. That's how I would be looking. For me, it'll be a full game Denver. If I do decide to go on the side at 6, you know, there's lots of opportunities where they can be down 10, 13 the entire game and potentially sneak in there in the back window.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many different angles and ways to try and approach this. So obviously, you and I take a little bit more of an analytical look. We've gotten the bookmaker's perspective. We know how Dave Mason and his house will be rooting for this game. And then, of course, Big Cat with his unique perspective, not only on the full game total and some of the props, but also the novelty stuff as well.
feel like we've kind of run the full gamut for Super Bowl 50, giving people a little bit of what they wanted in every which way to try and approach this and realize, well, a lot of us treat this as investment. Just understand your realistic expectations going into the game. I never encourage people to get free and easy loose with their bankroll, but it should be a celebration for a profitable football season, at least for us on the Bet the Board podcast, which have had an outstanding playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely. And here's one interesting thing, and I know, and this is going to just drive people nuts, because we talked about the indexes, we talked about, you know, MVP odds potentially having this huge hold. But I can also tell you this, it's depending on the spot, depending on the situations, there are times where some of this becomes advantageous. And so this is one of those times. We've kind of gone back and forth on this game. And if you've missed your Carolina money line and you are looking to set up a similar middle, it's not the same exact thing, but a similar middle, you might want to look at Cam Newton MVP minus $1.30, minus $1.40, and then you're coming back on Denver. We know right now when we look at this game, 27 out of the 49 quarterbacks have won the Super Bowl MVP. And I think it's changed dramatically. Everybody likes to rave sample size, but with the NFL, I think sample size is like the most ridiculous thing ever. The market shifts, team shifts every single week. So when you break that down a little more, we're in the social media world now. The NFL wants big brands. They want big names. They want charismatic guys. They want to brand their NFL towards guys they perceive as stars. And that's Cam Newton. And that's changed over the last few years. Five of the last 6 years, quarterbacks have been MVPs. Seven of the last nine quarterbacks have been MVPs. So I think if you're looking to create a semi-situation that a lot of the professionals did with Carolina Moneyline minus 170, now long gone at minus 240, that might be an advantageous route where you're going Cam Newton MVP minus 130, 140, then you're coming back with Denver plus six, kind of creating a similar middle.
Now, if I play devil's advocate, where would you cap as far as Cam Newton MVP versus the money line? Because there are some minus 210s available out here in the desert, or as you like to describe, fantasy land.
Yeah, that is fantasy land. That's his MVP props out in the desert, minus 210?
No, minus 210 is still available for the Panthers money line full game.
Oh, okay, minus 210. I think 190 was about that cutoff, and I think if you are in the desert, you probably hit that a little bit on the head. I think there might be potential. I know what Dave Mason said. Denver money line is going to be, you know, the public side because they like to just bet a little to win a lot. But if that's the case, this probably ticks down a little bit. Maybe you wait to do that. But the problem is if you wait to do that, then the spread is coming down as well. And so you're not going to have that middle. So that's why I think if you're looking to create that man-made middle, going on the MVP sooner rather than later, because Cam is going to be the obvious choice for the public. And while that is a sharp, it is a very square bet in itself, if you're just betting, you know, Cam Newton to win that MVP, if your intent is to set up this middle, then it gives you a better option. You haven't missed the window of what a lot of the sharp guys did.
All right, and one other question that came in on social media before I officially give you send-off and, I don't know, a 5-6 month vacation from dealing with me, not only once a week during the playoffs, but twice during the regular season. Your thoughts and how professionals try to approach alternate point spreads and totals. I know those become very popular wagering opportunities for folks looking to, again, risk a little to win a lot if they think they have a strong read on a particular side. We've seen some of these games get very lopsided and offer opportunity. What's your take on that, you know, kind of in generalities?
Yeah, again, with a lot of those props, a lot of those alternate lines, sharp guys that have bankrolls have no problems laying the lumber, and that's what we've seen here early on. Again, setting up an even larger middle, taking Carolina in a game that they feel is going to be tight, taking them plus 7, taking them plus 10. They were laying minus 700 to do that. And so it's very easy when you're going to be able to come back Denver, potentially the other side in your local market, you know, grabbing 7. So if you got both teams plus 7 and a game line 44, you know, there's a lot of value in doing that. And if you have the bankroll and you can withstand potentially, you know, losing this bet, that's the way professionals are going to look to kind of, you know, spread their money out with Super Bowls.
And before we get to our parting remarks, Sam, you've been awfully quiet on this podcast. We want your score prediction and your words of wisdom for our loyal Bet the Board listeners, since you've been with us all the way since day one, doing a lot of the heavy lifting behind the scenes.
How about 23-20, Carolina? By the way, four things have never happened in a Super Bowl. There's never been overtime. There's never been a shutout. Never been a punt return touchdown, and never been a play of 90 yards from scrimmage or more.
Huh.
Interesting.
That's interesting. That
I
is.
Know, I know the.
And one of those. One of those. One of those is gonna. Yeah. And that's the other thing. And again, another one of those props where guys are willing to lay it, but if you're smarter, you're going to wait to lay it. I've seen this as low as, you know, minus 800 right now, but I think if you wait till game time on the no safety prop, we saw this last year get down to about $6.30, $6.50. Pros are going to wait till the very last minute, betting no overtime, no safety. There's also a couple sites out there that have props that have basically parlayed them for you into two teams where you're going both no OT, no safety, and it's about $5 you have to lay there. So that's another one that professionals are going to gravitate towards late.
It always makes sense to try and wait out some of these markets to get the best available price. And as we talk about all the time, the Super Bowl, as far as betting patterns and market entry, a phenomenon unlike anything you see during the regular season, not only from the prop bets that we have a laundry list of different opportunities there, but also from the side in total, being able to get down early with the favorite, come back with a dog late, or in the case of some of us living out in the state of Nevada, maybe even being able to wait to bet the dog until the 23rd hour, grab 6.5 with the opportunity to potentially buy to 7.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. I think a lot of guys are trying to wait it out. I did see one shop that we're both familiar with. They did finally come off the 6 while we were on this fine podcast. So it'll be interesting to see what the rest of Vegas does if they follow suit with one of the sharper Vegas books.
Definitely think we could see things trending that way. But Payne, can't say enough good things about the way this season has gone. We took Bet the Board, which was our brainchild going into last year, from a true grassroots podcast, took it to the next level. And as you mentioned, a lot of things in the works to try and get us back to where we want to be and even further along in year three, since I assume we're going to be doing this again.
Yeah, we're just getting started. Expansion is obviously the key here, and the biggest key is, you know, the loyal listeners. We're not doing this without you guys, so feel free to comment, shoot us a note on Twitter, send us emails. It seems like email has been the go-to route. I know Todd comes off as being mildly unlikable. I come off as probably being an asshole, but we do not bite, and so feel free to shoot us emails, shoot us some notes on Twitter. We appreciate you guys listening.
Yeah, we do have the Twitter handle, @BetTheBoard, so we will always be monitoring and constantly observing that to try and get your feedback, good, bad, or indifferent. As you said, Payne, we do this podcast not just to hear ourselves talk, but to try and share some of the best information. We can't thank all of you loyal listeners, whether you listen to one episode or every single installment all season long. You guys are the ones that fuel, that drives this train, and then we continue to keep on chugging down the path. So for our producer, who's been with us all season long, I want to give you a special shout-out, Sam. You can follow him @SPShoot. You can follow Dave Mason @DaveMasonBOL. You can follow Payne @PayneInsider. Follow me @ToddFurman. And, of course, a very special thanks to Big Cat, Barstool Big Cat, jumping on. You can follow him @BarstoolBigCat. It goes without saying, BetOnline, your first and only stop for offshore wagering options. Want to thank them for being a partner with us since day one of the season. Best of luck any which way you elect to approach the Super Bowl. And keep it locked on the Bet the Board Twitter handle. Maybe some special installments until we start talking NFL regular season pigskin. It's only 6 short months away. And we'll see you at the window.